Hi, welcome to a Stanlib podcast. My name is Kevin Lings. I'm the chief economist within Stanlib. In this podcast, we want to discuss the recent budget delivered by the Minister of Finance. And obviously, there were a lot of different aspects to the budget that are worth discussing, but perhaps the most critical will be the use of the JAFECRA account, which is essentially the account that represents the revaluation of gold and foreign exchange reserves held by the Reserve Bank. So I'm going to touch on that as we go through the discussion. But before we get to that, I think let's unpack some of the key elements to the budget. Obviously presented under difficult economic circumstances, that's very clear. The government's been enduring a tax revenue shortfall. Fortunately, the shortfall has not become extensive or excessive relative to what was announced previously. So I think that's welcome, but it's still a shortfall of 56 billion relative to what the minister put forward back in February last year. A lot of that revenue shortfall coming through from corporate tax receipts. In terms of some of the economic numbers the minister presented, what stood out for me is he's still not expecting the economy to grow at even 2% over the next 3 years. Now, the reason why that's a concern is that the minister is effectively saying that there's not enough development, not enough initiatives, including infrastructure development, that is going to allow this economy to grow at more than 2%. And if you consider that the population grows at 1.6%, that's less than ideal. It says to us that South Africa's economy is going to remain under pressure for the next 3 years, and by implication, government finances will also remain under pressure. In terms of key tax changes, very little to talk about. I guess the main one was that they didn't allow for the impact of inflation. So let me quickly explain. Obviously, if inflation is elevated, then what it does is it pushes people into a higher tax bracket. And as a consequence, people end up paying more tax for no other reason than they received an inflation-based wage increase. Now, under normal circumstance, the government will compensate for that. It will adjust the tax thresholds to compensate for the negative effect of inflation. That is called fiscal drag or bracket creep. And in South Africa, that can easily amount to 15, 18 billion rand in a year. What the government chose to do this year is provide no compensation for the negative effect of inflation, which means, in effect, that government will collect more money simply because people received an inflation-based wage increase and therefore will automatically pay more tax, even though in real terms they know better off. And so I think for middle income and high income earners, it'll feel as if their income again has gone backwards and that they are facing the bulk of the tax burden in South Africa. The other tax changes, there was no adjustment to the fuel levy or the road accident fund. That has become more the norm in recent years, and I think that reflects the fact that those funds are already very high. The tax on fuel levy is already quite excessive. There was increases in the excise duties, the so-called sin taxes. I think that was broadly expected, but no big changes to, say, corporate tax, the VAT rate, individual taxes. So from that perspective, manageable and no big surprises. In terms of expenditure, government aren't making any huge changes. They did announce that they are going to extend the social relief of distress grant by another year. So that grant continues on. That's the 350 Rand. They're still not making it permanent, but equally they're not removing it. And clearly they are concerned that if they were to remove it in an election year, there would be negative pushback against that. So that's going to be extended out into 2026 at this stage. In terms of other expenditure, the breakdown I think is fairly in line with recent trends, but what stood out for me is that government is still not trying to curtail consumption expenditure in favor of fixed investment spending. In fact, quite the opposite. The focus on salaries, the focus on social payments remains huge. And in order to accommodate that, government continues to reduce its spending on fixed investment, if you like. Some of that relates to infrastructure. And I think that's unhealthy in an economy that is struggling to generate decent economic growth. So the big focus is the use of the Jafekra account, that is essentially an account within the South African Reserve Bank. And what it does is it reflects the revaluation gain or loss from South Africa's foreign exchange reserves that are held by the Reserve Bank. So this is a nominal amount. It is simply an accounting number that says because the currency has weakened, we effectively have made a gain on the dollars that we hold or the euros that we hold. And so that loss or gain is set aside in a separate account. Now, that account is very sizable. In January, it was sitting at over 500 billion rand. And that is accessible by the government. There's nothing untoward about it. That is completely legal. The government can access that 500 billion. But clearly, if it's going to do that, it needs to do that in a sensible way. And there have been discussions with the Reserve Bank about how to access. They have consulted internationally. And what they've decided to do is to utilize a sizable portion of that in order to reduce government debt. So in this year, there will be effectively 100 billion of that used. So government can therefore reduce its borrowing requirements, so effectively reduce its debt. And that does show up meaningfully in the debt projections of government. Instead of our debt going to 77% of GDP, it sits at around 73-74% of GDP. So it does look better. There's an improvement in the debt servicing cost. Not a massive improvement, but there is an improvement there. And it does set us up for a improved set of fiscal parameters. And on the face of it, that is pleasing, right? It's pleasing for credit rating agencies. It's pleasing for investors. The markets like that. There was some strength coming into the bond market, the currency market. And then what government has said is that in the 2 years beyond that, they will utilize effectively another 50 billion rand to do something similar. So there is a sizable utilization of those revalued reserves. They're not using the entire pool, and they've set out a number of fairly strict criteria as to how that pool of funds can be utilized. So I don't think this is government lacking in discipline or being irresponsible in how they're using those funds. And when you look internationally, it seems as if it's in line with international best practice. So where's the criticism with this? The criticism from my perspective is that if you're going to use 150 billion rand as a windfall from foreign exchange reserves, then is this the best use for that 150 billion? And what I would have wanted to see was them use that money to directly impact economic growth, to result in higher economic growth, particularly infrastructure development, that leads to an upliftment of the economy more broadly, that allows companies perhaps to export better, it allows companies to invest more, create more jobs. And I think if that 150 billion had been applied effectively to the infrastructure programs, it could potentially have made a difference, assuming that it's applied effectively. By reducing government debt, that also seems like a sensible option. But here's the problem. There hasn't been a significant change in the composition of government expenditure. And it's that component that has got us into trouble. That together with the fact that the economy hasn't been growing. So if you said to me, why is government finances taking so much strain? It's really come about for two reasons. One, you're not growing the economy fast enough, therefore not generating enough tax revenue. And the second is government expenditure is focused on things like salaries and social payments, which is consumption-based. And again, it doesn't drive economic growth that significantly. And so in order to avoid a repeat of that same problem, you've got to change one or both of those dynamics. You either have to grow the economy a lot faster, or alternatively, you've got to restructure government expenditure. And I'm not seeing any of that happen. What I'm seeing is government use the 150 billion to ease the debt requirement, the borrowing requirement, to put the government fiscal parameters in better shape. And yes, that's positive, but it has to be accompanied by other structural reforms that ultimately put the country in a better position, including lifting economic growth. So overall, I think it's a budget that will probably be absorbed quite easily in the financial markets. I don't think credit rating agencies will be perturbed by anything within the budget. I don't think there were a huge number of surprises. For example, they didn't hand over a whole lot of money to Transnet. They seem to be still adopting a tough love approach to the major SOEs, which I think is right. They need those SOEs to effect their own reforms. So I don't think that there's a lot that's going to surprise investors or necessarily concern investors. But clearly from here, the pressure remains on government to find a way to lift economic growth and to spend money more appropriately. Now, it's clear that that's the only realistic option we have to achieve that is private-public partnerships, allowing the private sector more into the space for Eskom and Transnet. And to government's credit, the Minister of Finance was talking about allowing or getting the private sector involved in the railway system as early as May this year, and hopefully we can see that build into a more substantial initiative that then lifts economic growth in a more sustained way. That's all from my side. Hope that makes some sense. Thanks a lot, guys.